Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 65 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled, You Never Outgrow a Storm. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Thank you for today. We thank you for the power of your resurrection that has given us this opportunity to seek the creator of the universe in spirit and in truth. And Lord God, it is our prayer that you'd be with us as we, like little children, try to stumble through your word to discover your truth. It's our prayer that you'll lay your truth in our paths, that we might see it, we might believe it, we might walk in it, that we might be changed forever, so that we might celebrate and we might live in your kingdom with you forevermore. Amen and amen. Well, we welcome everyone here today, and it is indeed a privilege to be back with God's people and to be, you know, it's really nice to be with like-minded people, is it not? I can tell this group of people, including myself, first and foremost, we do not claim to have many answers, but we sure do like to hear them if they're out there. And we are all tend to have this type of a mentality of trying to discover the will of God. I've got a hum up here from something on the stage. I'm not sure what it is. Can y'all hear it, or is it just me? Probably just me. So I guess I'm the only one that's going to bother. But the trouble is, y'all have to listen to me. So it's not. I think it's the monitors. I think it's that one right there, too, perhaps. Okay, we'll move on. Can you imagine, as we move forward here, I didn't go to my next slide again. I went to that one slide, and then I went to that slide. Pulpit to Houston. Yeah, it's on, yeah. Mm-hmm. Every time I turn the slide, Trevor, it goes to, see, Trevor, it goes to that slide. Yeah. There it is again. We will see what we got here. Can you imagine what it would be like in, I guess you're wanting me to try it. There we go. No, don't try it. It must be loading up, or it's doing this and it's doing this. I'm going to need Ray to interpret all that. You just let me know when you're ready for me, okay? Can you imagine driving your car with, you're in your car and you're driving your car, and all of a sudden you just take your hands off of the car and you say to yourself, I think that I will let my car go its own way. I think I'll just drive my car, but I'll let my car just go. Or better yet, what if you were in an airplane and the airplane pilot said, this thing can probably take care of itself. Let's see where it takes us. Well, I'm sure everyone knows the answer to that statement. But yet we approach life the same way. We approach our lives with the attitude and the idea that, well, I can just think ever how I want to. I'll just kind of, we have this idea that our minds are that we don't have control of our minds, that our minds are being controlled by reality, that that ever what happens is what happens, and my mind views what happens. So therefore, this must be what happens. So therefore, everywhere what's happening takes me, I guess, is where I'll be. That's the same thing as turning loose of a steering wheel of an airplane or a car, just saying, it'll just take me everywhere it is. You can be in an airplane, so I'm just going to let it take me. Or you can be on the road, it'll just take me everywhere it wants to go. And you can say, the reality with my hands off of the steering wheel, the reality is this car is fixing to hit a tree. Oh, well, bam, I hit the tree. I guess that's reality. So therefore, I am living my life based on no one driving the car nor the airplane. And I have concluded that whatever happens will be, and I just have to adjust myself to an airplane that nobody's driving it and to a car nobody's driving it. That's kind of the mindset and realities that mankind has adopted, and we have adapted to that philosophy and that way of thinking, which is totally contrary to the scriptures. With this idea in mind, and with the disasters of living a life with nobody at the steering wheel, we find ourselves running into a lot of trees, hitting a lot of ditches, and at best not landing well. Having a crash land. Anybody had any crash landings lately? So it's this mindset that leads us into a type thinking that reality, whatever what's happening around us, is what is dictating my life and how I will live my life. Well, I want to introduce to you a scriptural idea to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That means there's someone else at the steering wheel. There's someone else in the pilot's seat. Are we doing any good up there? I think that means I am being ignored, which is totally okay. Now, we want to change, in understanding that, we'll be changing this atmosphere from a believable atmosphere to an unbelievable atmosphere. A believable atmosphere is with this objective. Whatever happens around me, I will take note of it. And since this is what's happening around me, therefore, this is how I'm going to feel based on what's going on around me, which is reality. My mind demands me to come in line with what I am experiencing. Now, if you're going to be a Christian and we're going to live from the scriptures, we have to find ourselves in this predicament of either living our life by what's believable or what is unbelievable. Now, the reason I'm using this terminology is, number one, the scriptures use it. And the other thing is because not only do the scriptures use it, it's like our mind tends to go into these two categories. One's believable, one's unbelievable. When we say, oh my goodness, that was just unbelievable, does that not mean I have not considered it until I saw it? That's what it means. Oh, it's unbelievable. That means I was operating in a believable realm, not an unbelievable realm. As a Christian and as a believer, what I'm suggesting to you this morning, as we create a prophetic atmosphere of the kingdom of God upon this earth, as we're living in this in-between state, I would have us to think and to consider that the unbelievable is where God is trying to pull us into. Now, the unbelievable doesn't mean it's not possible. The unbelievable just means that you don't believe it yet. Some of the believable things you have today was unbelievable as yesterday. So what's unbelievable to you is not unbelievable then to God. Are they making any headway, or am I going to need to have your notes, Karen, if you've got a copy of those? I'll see if I can go over this. Been a long time since I've taught by notes. Y'all be ready. All right, this is my next slide. I guess they have moved it. All right, if you'll hit it one more time, if you can give me my second part of that. I don't think they can. It says everything that's in the corn, everything that the corn plant will ever be is already inside the seed. Now, I taught you that last week, and so I'm going to carry two things with you. Everything that a corn plant is going to be, its total potential, is already in the seed. All right? Now, a lot of people consider this, that everything that seed needs is already in it to be a full corn plant. It's already there. But there are things in life that help that corn seed be fully a full plant. It's called environment. What goes on around it. If you fertilize it, if it gets water, if you keep the weeds out. You have to look after that corn plant so it can grow and mature into to its full potential. It doesn't need any more potential. It just needs looking after. It needs to be taken care of that it might reach its full potential. I submit to you, when you're born, the first week or two or three of life, you can't even raise your head. You're a pretty dependent upon those that are around you. You can't even sit up. A lot of people say, well, we put so much on what we inherit that we leave little room to learn. A baby barely can raise its head. Well, how do we get to here? From not being able to raise my head to here, you got to understand all the potential and possibilities are in me, but how do I get to here? Everyone in this room are the same. You came into this world, you couldn't even raise your head. After that, you tend to be what your environment is, what you're taught. And what you're taught and then what you embrace activates the potential. All right? So a lot of us think, well, I've done all I can do. I've moved as far as I can go. I submit to you that your environment and what you've taught is a limiting factor in you reaching your potential. I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, 50. I don't care if you're 80. Moses didn't start till real good till he's 80. Right? So our potential and the release of the potential is tied up in what we're taught and how we learn and what we embrace and what we move forward in. If you allow your potential to be misdirected, that corn seed, if you just leave it alone, will do better than if you help it. Again, anybody hear what I'm trying to say? So therefore, in our helping each other, we tend to hurt if we're not careful more than truly help. Now, the seed's going to grow. The only thing we do is help an environment. It's going to grow. All we do is help in environment. And as we help in environment, then that seed can grow into its full potential. So in every corn plant is that potential to grow and to have an incredible harvest if the environment around it produces that harvest. Now, my next slide, if I had one, it would say this. I had a slide last week of a ship. Y'all remember that? I had a ship in a storm. And that ship in a storm, I showed how we have not been promised smooth sailing in life, but we have been promised to reach our destination. Life has not been promised to be smooth sailing, but we have been. All right, you getting something going? I think they're playing with me a little bit, maybe, giving me hope here. Got it? Here comes the messenger with the message. You did not know that Jason held so much power in this congregation, did you? Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. There we go. Actually, Jason and the Tony video media team installed some new equipment over this past week, trying to get it all synchronized and working. It's supposed to work better. We'll see. So we went on to say, we've not been promised smooth sailing. We've been promised to reach our destination. It is only in the storm that your faith is tried. Now, I covered this last week. I'll not cover it again, but I do need to cover it just to the point to bring you back into remembrance of where we're headed. We talked about the storms of life. I also said you never outgrow a storm. Is that bad news or is that good news? Well, it's good news because it's the truth. But what happens is you just learn to fight through it. In other words, if you got a storm in your life, you got it to do. You've got it to fight through. There is a destination on the other side. Now, you can go round and round and round and round in the storm if you want to. But also to understand when you have something in your life, we're to hit it head on. And we go straight through that storm. Now, with that information in mind, we need to understand that our visitation of the Spirit of God tends to be in the storms of life. Life has one continual storm. We have a beginning, we have an end, have a beginning, have an end. I know we're all searching for this life with no storms, but there aren't any. I'm sorry to tell you, everybody that's sitting to your right and to your left have as many storms as you do. I know you think that yours is the major storm. There's never been another one like it, and it's totally unique to you. The only truth there is it might be unique to you, but everybody's got them. We're all here on this earth. We're all trying to go through them, and we all reach them and meet them through our entire life. Now, there can be a maturity that starts to be reached in life where we understand the storms, that life has storms, and as a great captain of our ship, we learn how to weather the storms, to go with the storms, and to go with the storms, but we are not intimidated by the storm. Can anybody hear me? Yep. As Christians and believers, we are not intimidated. Say it with me. We are not intimidated. That's not an option for a believer, but yet we've been given these options from somewhere that we can be intimidated and all of this stuff in which we cannot. So your visitation, and I just turned my screen off, and I just turned it back on. I tell you what, I've got as much power as Jason. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. So look at me just a second. We are not supposed to say with the storms of life, that, oh God, some strange thing has just happened to me. Now, only mature believers can hear what I'm saying. You can say, okay, here's another storm. You're the captain of your ship. You will either go with it or you'll go down. You'll run out down in the galley. You'll pull the cover over your head and say, oh no, I've got a storm. Right? Or you're the captain of your ship. You get up there, you get on your ship, you say, okay, we got a storm. I am not intimidated. We will do this. But to you, to the degree that you are share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Now, come on. You're on deck. Storm's raging. And here he says to keep on rejoicing, but there's a reason. Number one, the scriptures do not lie. It is possible to rejoice in the middle of a storm. Now, just because we're not reaching it doesn't mean it's not so. It means that I have enough lies piled on me that I can't see how I can get there. But you got to understand something. It says there, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Now, he didn't say keep on rejoicing just so you'd be happy. The rejoicing is the warfare that gets you through the storm. Anybody see that? The rejoicing is an attitude. That is, it didn't say up there, get out your Bible. It didn't say get out the Scriptures. It didn't say get out and pray. It said, you get out your rejoicing. Because it is a person with an attitude of rejoicing that can see the way out. If you got your head tucked between your knees and you're saying, woe is me, somebody come pat me on the back, you'll never see the way out. You got to understand you're in this life by yourself, you and God. Has anybody figured that one out yet? You can be in pain, you can be in disease, you can be in whatever. The only person getting there with you is God. Your husband can't, your wife can't, your children can't. Nobody can. The only one that can get in there with you is God. You came in this world, it's just you and God. You will exit this world, it'll just be you and God. You can be laying beside your deathbed, everybody sitting there patting you on the head, but they're not in there with you. They're just not in there with you. That might be about you, but they're not in there with you. The greatest adventure that a believer has is on the deathbed with Christ in you, the hope of glory. The greatest adventure of life is when He becomes so big you don't see you. Now, so He says, share in the suffering. Keep on rejoicing. The key to the exiting or the winning over the storm. So that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God does what? The Spirit and the glory of God rest on you. Do you think the Spirit and the glory of God rest on a poor mouth or a rejoicing mouth? Rejoicing. Rejoicing is what sets you up for the glory. The rejoicing and the God resting on you, God resting on you is the definition of peace. How could God rest on you and you not have peace? Well, rejoicing is the entrance of a revelation and an encounter with God Himself in the midst of a storm. It's like we went over the Hebrew children, the fiery furnace. Where was he? In the fire. Now, I know this is easier said than done. I'm giving you a report on the truth. It's not about me. It's not even what I'm convinced of or what I'm not convinced of. I'm just telling you the truth because you have a witness right in here. Now, God creates the light out of the darkness of the storm. We went over this. For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. The light is coming off of the glory. The glory came in because of the rejoicing, and you wouldn't have had a reason to rejoice without a storm. So we thank God for the storm. Now, Hebrews speaks about faith. I covered that last week. Light shines to give us sight into the unbelievable world of God's kingdom. You're a captain. You're in the storm. You're in a dark place. The light of God, the glory of God comes upon you. Starts giving you revelation of how to see, how to get out of this storm, or at least to navigate through this storm. Now, this light shines because when we see the exit or the way to get through these storms, it's unbelievable. Now, there's one thing about an exit from God. It is that it was there all the time. You just didn't see it. You got to have eyes to see. Are you with me? God doesn't create an exit. The exit's already there. You just don't have eyes to see it. Number one, the exit is always unbelievable. Now, it says this in Zechariah 8:6. The Lord says, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant. Now, what is a remnant? A remnant is the believing people. A remnant is those that do believe. But here it says, this seems unbelievable to you. So we know that they are about to experience something that's outside their realm of believing. If you're sitting here and you think you're a super Christian, you do not know what I'm talking about. This scripture, this revelation is talking about people that have now believed, they're being pushed outside of their realm of believable. How do you know you're operating in the realm of the believable? It's because your life is lived out at the accumulation of evidence. You accumulate evidence to equal a truth, right? It's the soulish way to do life. You accumulate evidence, and this evidence must equal this reality. That's the thinking of the natural world. The supernatural world is we don't go by evidence. We go by the same thing that Jesus told the devil in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. It is written. I don't care what the accumulation of the evidence is saying to me right now, because it is written will trump any accumulation of evidence. Right? Now, with that in mind, let's move forward. The cure for the discouragement to the discouraged is to believe in unbelievable. When do we get, if you get to places in your life that you've been discouraged, you need to rejoice. It's a storm probably. But we rejoice because it has now been, we always say we want more of God, but we thought it was in giggly stuff or something. I don't know what we were thinking. But evidently we weren't thinking, because God reveals to you a place that He wants to put more of His glory or more of who Christ is in you. He reveals it because you're discouraged in that area. In other words, you don't have courage in this area. And not only that, God will even run your courage out so far that you start to get discouraged. Are you with me? Now, it's in this place of discouragement that we need to, as mature believers, we need to say, I am truly discouraged. That means I have exhausted what spiritual courage I have had up to this point. And since it has been exhausted, that means I will now turn over unto the unbelievable realm, which, by the way, takes faith to activate. But you've got to understand, faith... Please hear me. Faith is not your spiritual credentials. Faith is not your spiritual stamina. Faith, that's maturity. Faith is used when we're discouraged and there's a spiritual need, if you will, for the impossible to take over. Why? I call it faith and knowing. There's some things I just know about God. I don't exercise faith. I know it. You see, faith experience turns into a knowing. Is that all right? I just know it. I know I'm going to be in heaven, to some people's disappointment. I know I'm going to be there. It's just a knowing. I rest in a knowing. But we exercise faith when we're wanting our knowing to increase. Faith is exercised when we need something unbelievable. Now, did I lose you? You still with me? So mature Christians have a part of them that move into a knowing. You know that you're saved, or you know this, what you know things about God. But you have to be honest. I don't know everything about God. So some things I'm going to have to live by faith. And faith is things that I don't see or I don't understand. So I'm going to exercise faith. Faith is always applied in an area that's unbelievable. There's some of this unbelievable stuff now turns into believable stuff, which turns into a knowing, which I live my life out of. I live my life out of a knowing and a measure of faith. But faith is always a forward motion. Faith is moving me forward into areas that I've never been. Now, even though I get discouraged so easily, the Lord says this, to the unbelievable is no great thing for him. So can you see how when you start moving into the unbelievable realm, that God takes over? Can anybody see that? God takes over. So, spiritual and religious pride, when we operate in religious and spiritual pride, our moving into the unbelievable is stopped. Because we think, well, I know God will do it. Listen, it's important that we're constantly moving ourselves into the unbelievable realm. Here's how to do it. You'll say somebody's sick. Well, I've seen God heal sick people before. I've seen him do that. I know God can heal the sick. But when this individual comes up here, all of a sudden, I've been moved into a realm. Yeah, but I don't know if God's going to heal them. Now, don't feel like you got little faith. Just understand you're now moving into the unbelievable, which faith is required. You got to be weak so he can be strong. You got to move into the unbelievable because the unbelievable is no great thing for him. Say, Alan, I think I'm getting it. I can feel it. Can anybody feel it? I can feel the Holy Ghost going, get it, get it, get it, get it. Okay. I just want you to understand what we're saying is a lack of faith is true and it's okay. Because when we feel like we don't know if God's going to do something, that's right. We don't. You have now entered the realm that faith needs to be used. And because you have seen God do it before, your faith has went from 1 to 10, from a 5 to a 9.5. Because you remember back when he did, but you don't know if he will. Are you with me? So we use faith. We're using and operating in faith in the impossible. That is not a sign of weakness in the believer. It means that you have now left the realm of the believable into the unbelievable. I have a knowing and a believing God can. I don't know that he will. Voila. You don't have enough faith that they're healed. You have faith to exercise God moving in the unbelievable. Yes. You don't heal anybody. But there's something about us acknowledging, God, I have nothing to do with this healing that I'm asking you to perform. It's too unbelievable for me. But I got faith. I don't have faith that they're going to be healed. I got faith in you, God, to perform the unbelievable. Because your word says that's no hard thing for you. Aren't you glad? It's pretty big for us and we don't produce it well. It's no big thing for him. So he said it like this, if I can. For the Lord says, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant, which is the believers. Small, discouraged as you are. Okay, somebody comes up for prayer. They're sick and they've got cancer and they got all this. They come up here and, gosh, that's okay, God, I know you've done it before, but I don't know if you're going to do it again. So it leaves me at a little place of discouragement and it leaves me in a little spiritual place of, God, I need your help. It leaves me in a place and I'm dependent upon you. It leaves me in a place, God, I can't do this. I'm a little discouraged for this person. They're going to die. God says, as discouraged as you are, it's no great thing for me. So I turn to God and I say, God, I need faith. I want to exercise faith. You've given me the opportunity and the permission to exercise faith in you because this is no great thing for you. You said it. Why do I say it? It is written. It is written. It is written. It's written. And because it is written, it's no great thing for God. Now, the cure for the discouraged, I said, was, all right, is Zacar's, we must remember, y'all remember my teaching on Zacar? Zacar, it says in Genesis, God said, in the beginning he created man and woman in his image. The word for man, woman there is Zacar. The word Zacar means the remembering one. So we are to remember back when God did heal. We are to remember back and it is written of what God has done. Now we have a place of honesty between it is written and this new problem. Are you with me? We got a place of honesty to say, God, I'm discouraged. God says, okay, we're ready to move forward now. You apply faith in your discouragement. I bring the courage to the table. As we operate in faith, all of a sudden I get to be bigger than I really am. I go to praying big. You ever prayed stuff God would do and stuff you didn't know He'd do just because you got big in prayer? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We remember. We are Zacars. We are to remember. When he says, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant small, discouraged as you are, but it is no great thing for me. We as Zacars are to remember. If you remember anything about Christianity, remember this. There is nothing out there that's too impossible for God. Not only is it not impossible, he doesn't get winded. It's no big deal to him. Well, if it's no big deal, what's the problem? The problem is we got to become weak and realize we need him. We exercise faith in who he is because it's written. Is everybody with me? Say, I'm with you. Now, the battle is between courage and discouraged in the storm. Huge battle raging between courage and discouraged. The enemy of courage is what? Fear. You cannot give in or give up because you cannot see the end. As we're in the storms, we're in these battles, somebody's got cancer, somebody's got this, we can't see the end. You know, it's okay. God's got it. You don't give in because you can't see the end. Quit trying to write the end. God writes the end. You've heard it said, it ain't over till it's over, and it ain't over. Fear grows when you live a lifestyle of being the victim in the storm. Come on. I'm going to step on you just a little. When you do poor little old me and run down in the galley and let the storm rage above you, you won't pull the covers over your head. There's not a person in here that hadn't had the same thing offered. I'm just telling you, you're going to grow old and mold right there if you let it. You got to come out of it. I want you to say three words with me. Get over it. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, I hate to hear a teacher or preacher say that. Well, if you hate to see it or hear it, get over it. We don't have time to fix everything. I can't fix all your problems. I can't fix everything. Nobody can fix everything. Some things you just got to get over. If you're not man or woman enough to get over it, just stay there and grow old and mold is all I know. But there's some good news on the other side of mold and old. It's to get over it. It's to get up. Why do we do that? Courage grows when you live a lifestyle of determination, of enduring until the wind comes. Can you anybody hear that? Yes. You've been promised the win. You've been promised the win. You don't accumulate the evidence of the storm. Has nothing to do with the end. Do not make your fear of the storm more powerful than your enduring. I mean, let me tell you something. How you think rules who you are. I read this story this weekend, and watching this, there's this person who wanted to swim in the Arctic and Antarctic and break some kind of record. Of course, it's so cold, you can't survive. He told this group of scientists that he was going to do it. They said, you'll die. And he said, well, y'all go along beside me, fish me out if I'm dying, but I'm going to do it. He said, I believe that my mind can control my body temperature. They said, of course, he was crazy. Sound a little crazy to me. He accomplished and broke both records. He said his body temperature stayed where he could survive, which had not ever been done. And he said he's going to prove that his mind is over his body. Well, I say to you, if we've been created in the image of God and we are the remembering ones, is that not your mind? Talk to me, somebody. Is that not your mind? And yet the mind is the steering wheel of your car. Your mind is the pilot's seat of the airplane. And we're just going to throw it up and let it go where it wants to go? Somebody better get a life here. So, we don't let our fear overpower where we're headed. You're in an airplane, you're in a ship in a storm. You know where you're going. You don't let the fear overtake you. You just tell it to go jump and shove it in a creek somewhere. Now, you cross over into believing the unbelievable when you do that. Now, your future is unbelievable even though there's a storm. Things which are created begin as something that is first unbelievable. God created everything out of something that was not believed about. The unbelievable is the birthing of a new beginning. So we find ourselves in this place. Somebody comes up, needs prayer. I've seen God do it before. God, I need faith for you to do it now because we believe in you performing the unbelievable. That unbelievable event God's going to do is the birthing of something. If you're in the middle of pain, you're in the middle of disease, what I am saying to you is the truth. It's a storm, and God's word will not be denied. Could the unbelievable be prophetic unto our futures? The next stages of growth to a seed always seems impossible. I went over that in the other teaching. Now I'm going to move us real quickly. Oh my goodness, it's 18 after 10. Let me move on. Faith for the unbelievable. How can we have courage to bring the unbelievable into our reality of the storm so it can be believed? Anybody interested? A seed finds it's unbelievable that it can produce 100-fold. Everything in life's unbelievable. But you got to understand, as a believer, your mind is what we're after. A believer with its mind, what we're thinking is what we tend to produce. You remember my teaching I did last Sunday on the elephant? Was anybody here? The chain around the elephant's foot. Elephant, big animal, could do anything, command the jungle, whatever, can command that chain. Says this in Proverbs 23:7. For as he or as man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what it says in Proverbs. Anybody see that? For as he thinketh in his heart, a man, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he. It's just that simple. Didn't add a bunch more lines to it. As a man thinketh, so is he. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's my phone, I think. Or is that your phone? It's my phone. Let's just act like it didn't do that. We'll move right along. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Now, everybody says they want to be just like Jesus and they want to raise the dead and they want to do all that. I want that gift. I want that power. Whoa, you're not getting it. It's in the mind. It's how you think. Let this mind be in you. Proverbs, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how are we going to live out Christ? By his mind. You're wanting the anointing and not a changed mind. Ain't going to happen. It comes through the remembering one. Here. The power, the authority, everything is in the remembering one. There he is without the chain. For as he or a man thinketh, which is attitude, in his heart, so is he. I'm going to do just one more slide here. If you are in a storm, it says this in Isaiah 26. It says, it is written, you will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Whose mind is what? Is fixed on you. Because he trusts in you. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because your mind is fixed on him. Is anybody getting where I'm going with this thing? How is your mind right now? And I'm going to have to quit, but how is your mind right now? Philippians 4:8, is this you? Meditate on these things, it said. Meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things bring pure, are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Think. Mind. Now, command, just compare what you've been thinking to this. How much of your thinking's been darkness and not Christ's mind in you? Can you see what a transition yet we've got to make? Let me do this. Here we see that our success, now with it, I'm going to stop on this and I promise. Here we see that our success or failure is a direct result of how you think. If you think you can, you will. If you think you can't, you won't. If you think you'll fail, you will. If you think you will achieve, you will. If you think. If you think. How you think. It's right here. Let this mind. Now, if you don't want to trade yours for Christ, you got another problem. But I feel as though I'm speaking to those that want to. They want to think as a Zachar's to think. When we partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we were in trouble. So God made a way. Adam and Eve, his intention was for them to have the mind of Christ, which is now available to us.